Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
For about 300 years after the children of Israel settled in the land of Canaan, they had no king to rule over them. But instead, they were ruled by certain godly people who were called judges. These judges were chosen by God and led the people to do the will of Jehovah. During the time that Samuel was a judge and prophet in Israel, the Israelites became dissatisfied with this form of government and decided they wanted the king to rule over them. Good people, God was displeased with this. Why? Because truly he was their king. Through Samuel, he warned of the hardships that would follow Israel if they were to pursue these matters. But the people persisted, and God eventually allowed them to have their king. You may remember that Saul was the first king to rule in Israel. When he was chosen, the prophet told the people, "You have this day rejected God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said to him, 'Nay, but set a king before us.'" 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 19. The particular part of this story that I want us to consider at this time is the reason the people gave for wanting a king to rule in Israel. We find it expressed in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, 'Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations.'" You see, the reason they wanted a king was because other nations had kings ruling over them. And good people, they wanted to be like everyone else. The desire to conform to the ways of others seemed common to humanity. Too often, the decisive question is not what is the right thing to do, but what is everyone else doing? With some, the only important consideration is it acceptable to most people? The Israelites wanted a king because everyone else had one. They refused to consider whether it was going to be pleasing and acceptable to God. They refused to think about the consequences that might follow. And yet, too, they failed to think in regard to the other nations and that all of these other nations were heathenistic nations. The bottom line, good people, is that they were not going to be happy until they had imitated their neighbor. There is, of course, no virtue in being different just for the sake of being different. In fact, except in matters of right and wrong, I believe that it is best if we seek to fit in with the custom of others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." In this, the Apostle Paul, when in Rome, acted as the Romans acted. What does that mean? It means that he followed according to the customs that were customary to those in Rome. But good people, it also is important for us to understand that in following the customs of those in Rome and other places, that Paul never allowed these things to stand against the law of Christ. In our society, the temptation is often to go along with the crowd, thinking what the crowd thinks and doing what the crowd wants to do, even though it may not be pleasing to God. This is true with all aspects of life. But then, too, isn't it evidence also with the choices that many make with religious matters? The important consideration too often is not what is in keeping with the truth, but rather is it that which is in keeping with the popular trend, with what the majority of people want. I believe that many people know the truth, but they will not follow it because their family and friends and society in general does not accept it. Today I ask you, isn't it foolish to allow our soul's destiny to rest upon the choices of the majority? Today I want us to understand that there is an absolute standard of truth. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." Good people, the Bible is from God. And the Bible is to be the standard of truth that we turn to as we seek to live our lives pleasing and acceptable to God each and every single day. But then too, in terms of the things that we do religiously, God wants us to worship Him. And Jesus stated this in the book of John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." You see, friend, God wants us to worship Him. But then, too, God does not want us to worship Him just according to the way in which we want, but rather the way in which He has prescribed. He wants us to worship Him. He commands us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Bible defines what that spirit and truth of the matter really and truly is. The true worshiper will worship God in spirit and in truth. The implication also then is that there are those who worship God who are not true worshipers. Jesus defines such in the book of Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Jesus said that these draw near to Him with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. They sound religious. They do things that might even look religious. But the bottom line is He says that their hearts are far from Him. Why does Jesus say that their hearts are far from Him? Good people, because they teach for themselves the commandments and doctrines of mankind. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads into life, and few there be that find it." To follow the truth at the possible cost of offending family, friends, and others, to stand for what is right even when it is unpopular, takes real courage and strong faith. But those who love God and His truth that much will do so and will serve as a shining light unto the lost and dying world. Friends, I want to leave us with the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. "Do not be conformed to the world, but rather be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God."